For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
I'm so glad that you're listening to us. Thank you so much. This is the Songwriter Connection. I'm Dave, and this is episode 193, and we're taping in right around the holidays. So if you're listening on the day that release, it's 129, and we're full-fledged into the year 2525, and for us baby boomers, it's got a special meaning.
Yeah.
The old Zagger and Evans song, in the year 2525, which when we first heard that seemed like a billion years to, you know, in the future, but here we are. By the way, here's some interesting trivia for you. Denny Zagger from Zagger and Evans makes guitars, and they have these Zagger Easy Play guitars, and they're really beautiful. I bought one, and it's become my primary writing guitar. A little trivia for you, right here, right behind me. It's always near me. So, not always in tune, but it's always near me. Our guests today, I have to tell you, I've seen them all individually in rounds all over town, and each one is a great writer and performer, but all together, they are mighty. As a matter of fact, they are the mighty train wrecks. Hey, guys. Good to have you here.
Hey, good to be here.
I'm looking forward to it. We got more than one person around the dining room table playing different instruments and harmonizing. Oh, my God. I'm in my glory. This is what it's all about. Yeah. All right. So let me introduce them all. My friend, favorite co-writer, one of my favorite writers in town, and just a super guy, and sometime co-host, which I'm going to ask for your help today on this.
Yeah.
Frank Scott Barrier.
And the new guy.
And the new guy.
I made that very clear. So these guys have put in all those miles and years, and I'm just happy to be part of the journey now.
Awesome.
That they're including me.
Thanks, yeah. Scott. Good to have you here.
Thanks.
As we go around, directly in front of me is Eddie Paul. I've seen you perform. You're an amazing guy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
So glad to be here. Thank you for having
us. Good to have you around the dining room table.
Yes, sir.
This next guy, they call him Freight Train. It's Chris Floyd. How'd you get that name? I'm wondering about that.
I really gave it to myself.
You did?
With you.
Yeah.
I'm a blues guy, and so you need to have a good blues handle.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I did a lot of partying down by the railroad tracks and all that kind of stuff. And harmonica certainly evokes trains and all-American music, jazz, country, rock, blues. So there's that.
All the way back to DeFord Bailey, who used to be on the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
He had a song called Pan American Blues. It was all harmonica, and it was absolutely amazing.
And really, he's a lot better than people think he is, because mm-hmm. at the Opry, all he did was those fox chases, and
yeah.
they're actually fairly easy to do, and he was a complex, brilliant.
Yeah,
the guy can do melody and count, like, you know, different things at the same time,
right,
on the harmonica, which is like a whole different level.
I want to talk about this because I think this is the first time in our podcast that we've had harmonica.
Oh no, that'll be the last time. No,
no. I want more. I want more. And I remember when I was a kid listening to music, you know, people would pull out and they call it a harp, and you play that harp there. And I always, why do they call it a harp? And I didn't realize until I started working at Ryman Auditorium that the name comes from what this instrument was, a French harp, is what they used to call it.
And what's even more bizarre than that is it's a German instrument.
And it's a German
it's
instrument.
Not
That's right.
A French instrument at all.
Back in the days when it started coming over to the United States a lot, everything in Europe, they just say it's French.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So even though it came from Germany, it became the French harp. Then, of course, Kris Kristofferson brought it to a new level. The harpoon right. out of a dirty...
Just to rhyme it.
Just
that's
to rhyme
a brilliant it. Rhyme. Brilliant.
Really was.
Because harmonica is not a good rhyme in any song. The word harmonica, you just can't rhyme that with anything.
Now, would you put that in your mouth after taking it out of a dirty red band?
I would.
You would. Yeah. Because you're true. Yeah. You're a monster.
No, you know, that's the way to keep it clean, really. That's a great... You know, Kris Kristofferson is all over it. That's how you keep the dust and crap from getting in it and causing the reeds to go flat on you or not play at all. So that's why he was wrapped in a dirty red bandana.
So let me ask you this. When did you start picking up the harp?
1979.
Did you take to it right away?
Well, not really. I mean, I thought I was taking to it right away, but none of my friends did.
Hey, let me take the trick. The trick is to bend those notes like we can do on a guitar very easily.
Man.
How do you learn to do that?
Oh, my God. I can't. It's really hard to teach.
Nobody has ever been able to tell me exactly how
it's,
you do it.
It's if you use the, I watched this on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
People are better at teaching than I am, although I have to teach some people. It's a k sound, right? So it's a k. And if you reverse it, k, it's sort of the middle back. And you take your tongue and you curl it up towards the middle or the middle back of, and then
can you demonstrate it real quick? Any key,
I don't know if I can demonstrate the. But what it does is it just like a guitar player bending a string up.
Uh-huh, banging it up.
When you're doing, you're kind of cutting the airflow but letting it through, and that pulls the, if you do it right, it pulls the reed up to bend. And then there's different, you can actually get different notes on certain holes. You can get three notes per hole if you really know what you're doing. And that's a little beyond me. I can do it without thinking about it, but there's guys that know exactly what note it is.
That's crazy. Yeah. See, I never learned how to do that. I'm going to have to get some harmonicas.
See the different, that's the same hole, just a harder bend, and it changes the note.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Okay.
And there's a third one. I don't know how to do that. I'm not that good.
You know, I always love when I talk to artists, they come up with their own brand. And I think it's so important today to have your own brand of music. And you guys, you call it, and I love this, country, psychedelic, Americana jam band. So let me put it all together. Country, psychedelic, Americana jam band. I'm in. That's wonderful.
Freight trains and slight exaggerations there, but really it's not. Uh-huh. Because Eddie is our country guy, but he actually has a really strong blues side is really good, actually, that he's, you know, just does. And some of my songs border on psychedelia.
Which I always love.
And although I love country and bluegrass, I came up as a bluegrass harmonica first and foremost.
Really?
Way before I played blues, yeah.
Wow.
And then anyway... And then we like to jam. We like to do longer solos and kind of play. The Mighty Trainwreck's name is an ethos about not doing the show the same way every time, just like all the great jam bands like the Grateful Dead or the Allman Brothers and feeding off each other and maybe taking them extra solos. Now, sometimes we wreck by doing that because we lose ourselves.
You're right.
But generally,
well, that's the name, right?
It happens.
Yeah. You don't gain anything if you don't take a chance.
Exactly.
Exactly right, exactly.
So that's the whole thing. And so we do have a jam site. We were jamming
last night.
Just stretching songs out.
Oh, that's crazy.
Well, that's why I really was more interested in playing with you guys with the train wrecks than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's because everybody, not that they're not talented, but they kind of are formulaic and they're stuck and you kind of know where the songs are going, which is great, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that it is kind of challenging and you got to pay attention and you got to keep up. Mm-hmm. And it's different. Every song is just different, goes different places. That just makes, for me, more of an interesting and more fun show.
I think it depends on the crowd too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You got to read the crowd, don't you?
If they're feeding off of it, it's a lot easier to go off that spur over here and take it a while.
Go off the tracks.
Yeah, and then come back in.
Oh, yeah. So. Taking all kinds of tracks.
But you know what's interesting is when we're worried about, and I agree, we do read the crowd, but I think when we jam in front of any crowd, they all of a sudden go, they kind of perk up. Even when it's almost too loud, they go, what the hell? You know, and they literally start cheering. Like, they get a little more crazier when we do that, I think.
They did last night.
They did last night.
And you guys play the Puckets in Murfreesboro, right?
Right.
You do a lot of the Puckets and stuff.
Oh, we love Puckets.
It's our only gig. No one else seems to want us.
Oh, we got to get you out there, like, to local and stuff, right? You know? My gosh. It's It's awesome.
We would love to play the local. We did play the local on a regular basis.
Terry Joe, are you listening? We're talking to you. Let me ask you guys this. You've been together about 14 years, Eddie and...
Well, Eddie and I have been...
playing together for...
for 12, 13 years. Yeah. The train wrecks, 10 years.
10 years. 10 years. This year is 10 years.
So you guys are the founding members?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then old Scott here, he's been in about what?
Not long. I don't know. How long?
About a year.
About a year. Yeah. About 12 months. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
12 years, 12 months.
But 12 really, years, Scott's been an honorary member for a lot longer than that because first, Eddie and Scott co-wrote a bunch of great songs, and then Scott started slumming and co-writing some songs with me.
Oh, I don't think it was slumming, you know.
Well, I looked at it that way because Scott is such a great songwriter, and the fact that he was willing to write with me was a huge...
Yeah. Me too.
I looked at it like an honor that he would write with me.
That's the way I looked at it too. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind. But it's just, but your music is so cool, and it's got its own flavor and its own lane, you know. And that's why it's fun to write that kind of music, just because it's different than so much that's out there. That's why it's fun.
And that's what I want to talk about, because we're a songwriting podcast. So when you guys sat down to write songs, and you decided we're the Mighty Train Wrecks, or did you have the songs and then come up with the name?
We had songs and then came up with a name. I mean, I was doing my own stuff. Chris was doing his own stuff. He was sitting in with me, you know, in some writer's rounds and playing with me and got to back him up.
Because the harmony.
I got you.
It's the harmony.
And I got to learn some of his songs so I could play for him, and it kind of started working.
That's how things work here in Nashville, you know. So about blending the songwriting styles, how did that
We
work?
Don't, really.
You don't. Each bring your own thing.
We bring our thing to the table and as a band, work it up and make it. Ours. We make it to train wrecks.
We really never, I guess I'll be perfectly honest. We never say you can't do this song.
Mm-hmm.
We may not always like it at first or we'll grow to like it, but we never, that's the really cool thing. And I appreciate that about you, Eddie and Scott. And I think Eddie appreciates that about me. Yeah. We just, if somebody wants to do it, we'll give it a whirl.
Yeah. And it was really cool that, for you guys to let me be to do some of my own songs. I wasn't expecting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to sit in and play along and sing harmonies. So that meant a lot that you wanted me to sing some of the stuff that I've written over the years.
Adds to our
The harmony, you know. It took a harmony to
You know, the way I look at that though is you know, you were willing to just do our songs and that meant a lot to us. And to me, it felt like an insult not to have your songs because you're so great, right? I mean,
oh, thanks, man. Well,
yeah,
Scott brings that more contemporary sound to us that we didn't necessarily have before.
Okay,
Like a pop country,
kind of a pop country type sound.
Well, here's an extreme example: like when Joe Walsh joined the Eagles, right? Took him to a whole new...
that was a different change for them.
Yeah, so. Well, that's cool. You're having a blast, aren't you, Scott?
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
not to quote a, you know, commercial, but
getting actual paid gigs in Nashville. Well,
that's a beautiful thing too. But it's just to perform with, you know, my friends and my co-writers and do music that's like I said, interesting to me.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's more fun to play because it goes all those places.
Yeah, it does.
And it's just more fun on the stage. It's just we go everywhere and. And I think we're getting better at eye contact, thank God. And so so I know where the heck we're going.
I've seen a few of the videos on YouTube. Search for them, you will see. I think this is a good point to pick a song. You've chosen 3-4 songs to do today. But we got to get under the hood on each one of these. So, you know, who wants to go first? And let's talk about the song.
You want me to go first?
Go ahead.
You want to warm up that?
Freight Train, you got to go.
All right, so... During the pandemic, I was turned on to a guy named Hobo Shoestring, and it's kind of a long, convoluted story.
Well, I want to hear it, though. Well, tell me the whole story. All right, tell me.
No, there's a friend of mine I wrote a song about. His nickname is Topsy Turvy. And he sent me he was wearing me out, sending me all these, like, YouTube videos of train stuff, because I'm freight train and all that. And I was really kind of annoyed by it all, you know. But I was kind of looking at it, and then I was just, you know, during the pandemic, I was going from one thing, and I stumbled across this guy named Hobo Stoby, who also was this huge 250,000 subscribers on YouTube. I mean, the Mighty Train Wrecks, to give you perspective, are lucky to have 418.
Wow.
And we've been killing trying to get people to subscribe to YouTube. So, and then I discovered Shoestring, which I liked better. I liked his personality better. Hobo Stoby was kind of... drank a lot and was kind of negative. He was real ironic, and that's fine. A lot of people love him, and he's cool. And he did some really cool stuff. But anyway, Hobo Shoestring had this sort of encyclopedic knowledge of everything trains, from where they go, 5 million miles under his belt, all the workings, mechanical, and just knew everything about it. He'd been in the Army. Wow. And he was basically, you know, those guys don't view themselves as bums or homeless people. They're just travelers, and they work where they stop at to get a little money and adventure. And they, and so I watched a bunch of stuff, and I thought, man, and of course he had 200, at the time he had 200,000 subscribers. Wow. And I called Scott, and I said, man, we should write a song about this dude. Mm. And so I tortured Scott. Scott started watching a bunch of videos.
A ton, yeah.
Of him, and he wrote down stuff that he liked.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest thing, I want to get away from story songs. I've done so many of them, but story songs are hard.
Oh, because, I love story songs.
Yeah, but they're hard because you have to distill someone's lifetime
into three minutes.
It's really hard. We spent like 30 hours writing this song.
A lot of research and went through a lot of lyric lines. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
it's
so,
like that with my song Absalom. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just to, you know, to do it justice. And anyway, so we did it, and we did a little video of it that my wife filmed, and we knew that we had that built-in audience, but we were scared. Would they be offended by that? Would he be offended by it?
Yeah.
And he ended up loving it and helped us.
Thank goodness.
So we created a friendship between really him and I the most. I talked to him a lot, and tragically he died about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He lived a hard life, man. But anyway, he was a perfect gentleman in all of my dealings with him. Like, look, he had his demons. I got my
everybody
demons.
Does.
Right. You know what I mean? And so, anyway, so Scott and I just watched the videos. And then what happened was is Eddie and I, you know, recorded it and had, you know, all these great musicians. We had Robin Ruddy on pedal steel. And
love Robin.
It came out really great. It's more my countryside, my more folky, you know, bluegrassy side, which I'm really strong in. A lot of people don't realize that. I might love psychedelic music, but I love roots music as well. Anyway, it came out great. And then there was a guy that had a radio station in California that stumbled upon it. And he had some friends that were videographers. And then those guys went to all of Shoestring's videos and lifted video and literally made it like edited this perfect video of our song.
Wow.
And it's gotten on our page 25,000 views.
That's fantastic.
And then on his page it's up to like 40 or 50,000
nice.
Views.
That's
so anyway,
hear.
It's
wow.
nice.
That's really good to hear.
You know, that and a dollar will buy you a Happy Meal at McDonald's, but people love that song. And now that he's died, they literally comment all the time, like, we miss Shoestring. Thank you for, you know, memorializing him and all that kind of stuff. And that always means a lot.
Yeah,
well,
great.
Before you play it, I want to tell them where you can find the video, because you want to see the video.
You can see the video on Hobo Shoestring's YouTube page, but you can see it on the Mighty Trainwrecks on YouTube. And please like and subscribe.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing a live version around the dining room table, guys. Take it away.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. I saw him walking down the mainline track with his Yeti bucket and a bivy sack, buckshot beard and an old backpack, and he was smiling ear to ear. Red wing wearing Carhartt Magi standing in the setting sun. Said, I go by Hobo Shoestring, where you headed, son?
If you want to run with me, it's dodging cops and security. Rolling from town to town, ever forward, distance bound. Doubted myself as he talked to me, I'm not sure that's the life for me. But I bet it's the thrill of the freedom of not being tied down. The open sky's all he needs. Wish I could be just like old Hobo Shoestring, running the rails where they lead. Wish I could be just like old Hobo Shoestring, riding on that gypsy dream.
in the tangles by the old switch line. He told his tale by the firelight. He talked all night as his eyes shined. He's smiling ear to ear. Took my first ride from Laramie to Stockton. Now the wanderlust is in my blood. Rail singing, that southbound's coming. What are you thinking of?
If you want to run with me, it's Dodger Cops and Security. Rolling from town to town, ever forward, distance bound. Doubting myself as they talk to me, I'm not sure that's the life for me. But I bet it's the thrill of the freedom of not being tied down. The open sky is all he needs. Wish I could be just like old Hobo Shoestring, running the rails where they lead. Wish I could be just like old Hobo Shoestring, riding on that gypsy dream.
Here we go.
Thrill of the freedom of not being tied down. The open sky is all he needs. Wish I could be just like old Hobo Shoestring, running the rails where they lead. Wish I could be just like old Hobo Shoestring, riding on that gypsy dream. Wish I could be just like old Hobo Shoestring.
Yes! Three-part harmony live around the dining room table of the Songwriter Connection. They are the Mighty Train Wrecks. They're psychedelic Americana jamming right here.
Thank you, man.
Oh, that's fun, huh? Yeah.
That's awesome.
Great message in that song, too. Wow. So you both collaborated on that? All of you guys? Or just Scott?
Well, those two.
Well, I mean, you know, he's collaborated musically. Eddie and I will Mighty Train Wreck up the song a little bit and talk about arrangements. But ultimately, this was musically.
It's writing together. With
those two. Yeah, Chris and I were on that one. So, yeah.
All right, let's talk about you, Eddie. Eddie Paul, where are you from? Where are you?
I am from right here.
Right here. You're the one.
As the they unicorn. Say, I'm the unicorn.
The unicorn, that's what they say.
My family's been here since the Revolution.
Have they really? Yeah. Tell me about that.
It's just, we, like I said, been here since the Revolutionary War. Still got a little piece of a property that
has been passed down.
Part of a land grant that's passed down, still have. And, but yeah, I've been here my whole life, within 30 miles of this. Your house here.
Wow.
And actually still live in the Watertown area. So.
Watertown's a beautiful, beautiful area. But, you know, I just, I'm so interested in that kind of time frame because, you know, with my Absalom song, and we talked about this in a past podcast, I found this cemetery, and Absalom had died in 1834, and just around the corner, his cemetery.
That's his name?
His name was Absalom at Leaves.
Okay.
And the Leaves family had a lot of property here, so I wonder if they were contemporaries. They probably knew each other. I wouldn't be surprised with family.
So we've got I've got deep roots here.
Yeah,
I don't ever see myself going anywhere.
Wow. You love it here, huh?
I love it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't leave where he's from at either. In Watertown now.
Yeah, it's pretty out there, isn't it?
It's really pretty.
I actually grew up in Laverne, probably about a mile from the Davidson County line. We had a dairy farm there.
Wow.
And, of course, that's all long gone now.
Highway through that in the town and all the building.
That old house is amazing.
Yeah.
The cabin.
Yeah, that
that's
cabin.
What, 200
still year, got, we got a 197-year-old log house.
Wow.
It's got ghosts in it.
Yeah.
Seriously?
It is
ghosts
haunted,
and spiders.
Ghosts and spiders. There's a song, guys.
Ghosts and spiders.
Ghosts and spiders. I want to hear it next time you're on.
And really, that's where Eddie and I worked up all our harmonies was on that butcher table.
In
Tell
that,
us about that.
Yeah,
Tell
there's
us.
A Of course, way back when those log houses were built, the kitchen was built separate from the house.
Yeah.
You had an open dog. They called a dog trot that was open mm-hmm. to the outside.
A dog trot was, because of the yep. food that dropped
and
out.
And the heat. The heat. You didn't want, in the summertime,
you didn't want to. Yeah. I mean, the fire had to burn all the time to right. cook, so right. you kept the heat out of the house in the summertime. Plus, if the kitchen caught on fire, there was a better chance right. of yeah. putting it out before the house burned.
Ah. Right.
But anyway, makes all sense. That had been closed in and had a little butcher top table that. My great grandfather is a railroad desk. He used to work for the railroad, and this is where wow. it came from. And
wow!
So Chris and I sat around that and worked a lot of harmonies up, worked up a lot of arrangements, and I did a lot of writing in there.
Wow!
Just it's a special place.
Yes.
Oh, imagine! I'd love to see it sometime. So. Yeah, I'm sure you can show me pictures.
Yeah, we've got pictures.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool house.
There you go.
But anyway, I've done some writing with Scott. We wrote some good songs. And,
mm-hmm. I think was our first right there.
I think it might have been.
Don't Count Me Out. Is that it?
Yes, I believe it was. Yeah, Beverly wow. Brick House.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Beverly. That's right.
Awesome. And anyway, been doing a lot of writing with my wife lately.
Have you?
Yeah.
She's a wonderful lady.
Yeah, she's a great girl. Yeah. And. She's a educator anyway, and mm-hmm. in grammar. So, she's good at taking. She's good at
correct. Does yeah. she correct you a lot?
She's good at taking my
oh yeah yeah
redneck thoughts and twisting them a little bit and making them sound a little bit better. You know,
my wife does the same thing. But honey, this you got to be a little redneck. Come on, yeah, you know, gotta,
man. You guys have written some killers.
Yeah,
killers.
You are writing
lately.
Some cool stuff. But, yeah.
I feel like I'm doing some of my. Better stuff since we've been writing together, actually.
That's good.
And the good thing about it is I don't have to go anywhere. We can work on it 30 minutes, or we can work on it 3 hours, or we can skip. We don't have to. I'm not pushing myself to write. I know people push every day, and I've kind of backed off. I used to worry about not writing something new and having something coming out every time I turned around.
You know, there's nothing wrong with pushing, but I'm like you. I don't want to. I just want to write when I'm inspired to write.
And I retired last year and a half ago, and I'm doing a lot of work around my house, which is keeping me busy, but I still have my music room, and I go in, sit down, and where I come up with ideas is just picking around on the guitar.
Me too.
And playing licks and not necessarily having an idea and just letting something come.
Exactly. I do the same thing. Yeah.
And, you know, if it comes, it does. If it don't, I've got some stuff I've been fiddling with for 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's slowly coming, but I'm not pushing. I'm not forcing it. But we'll sit down and, like, we went to Gulf Shores last year.
Mm-hmm. Frank Brown thing?
I just went down there. And, you know, while we were down there, I'd started this song called Voodoo Woman and had the first verse.
Maybe we should do that.
And
maybe.
And
maybe we should.
So we're down there in the condo and. Of course, I always take a guitar with me. And she said, well, why don't we write something? Why don't we finish writing something? Wow. So I got to start playing Voodoo. We finished Voodoo Woman at Gulf Shores.
Wow.
And I was tickled to death when we got back with it. And so we've added that in the show. It's been a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, it's a cool song. It's a really cool song.
I've really enjoyed working with her. And like I say, I'm just going at it in cruise control right now.
See, that's the nice thing about y'all guitar players is you can do that. I can come up with riffs on the harmonica, but I generally just come up with like with hooks or ideas is what I. But I think I like the being able to pick and come up. Yeah. That to me is really.
You know what I wanted
nice.
To ask you before we get into the break? I know you drive truck, and when I'm driving, I get. Ideas in lyrics and stuff. Do you find the same something about the road?
Absolutely. But you know, when you listen to all the great songwriters, those guys have got a notebook and they're listening to conversations.
Yeah.
And I'm not as good as I should be, but that's what I try to do. I try to either hear
one thing I've done that I
like to do is to honor when I wake up with an idea and get up and write it down. It really sucks when you're tired and working hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
does.
Every time I've done that, I've not regretted it.
Yeah.
Generally. I mean, some of them are stupid.
I learned that lesson the hard way for Adrian. I did. I remember sitting in bed going, oh, wow, that's the perfect ending for that song.
And not
that's
right.
Great.
If you don't capture it.
You should get up and write that down. Nah, I remember that in the morning. 3 days later. Gone. 3 days later, I'm going, I had it. What was it?
Yep.
And it never came back.
I did that on an LSD trip one time. I went to see it back in the day. It was brilliant, and it disappeared, and I wish I had it now. Probably would be total gibberish at this point.
There's the psychedelia coming out right there.
Amen.
Let's take a break. More with the Mighty Train Wrecks coming up on the Songwriter Connection.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You're listening to the Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at the Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Our guests are the mighty Trainwrecks. The Trainwreck, we got Eddie Paul, we've got Freight Train, we got Scott Barrier.
Hello.
All of them around the dining room table. Before we go on and get more into it, what they do and hear more music live, I want to remind you, if you're on we're on Facebook, by the way. You can find us there. And I post a new episode every Wednesday. But we're also on Instagram and X. But if you're watching on YouTube, although we're not a video podcast, you can still listen there. Please like and subscribe. That really, really helps us out.
It really does.
Certainly appreciate it. And by the way, while you're there, go to the Mighty Trainwrecks and like them and subscribe as well. They got some great stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good to have you here, guys. Hey, man.
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good to be
here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having us, Dave. Man. It's a huge honor, man.
Having a blast. Having fun. Yeah. Let's go back around the table. Now, we started with Freight Train. And, Eddie, now it's your turn. Song that you want to do and that you wrote. We got to get, again, under the hood. How you wrote it. Well, I guess the whole thing.
I think we've decided to do Voodoo One.
All right.
So we kind of talked about it a little bit. But,
yeah.
But with you want to add some?
Well, it's just, this is one of those that I sat down and kind of started with this little guitar lick.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I don't know, I was just sitting there in the music room and Voodoo Woman come into my head and I just started kind of, like you thought, saying lines. I just started writing them down and kept working with it. And before I knew, I had that first little verse down and I just kept going over that first verse and working with it. And then we got to Alabama and finished it up, but
all came out in
Alabama. It's one of those that just came out, you know, just I wasn't looking for the song, it found me.
Gotta love when that happens.
And that's just one of I wasn't looking to write that, it just happened.
We had Gary Chapman on the show not too long ago, and he said, you know, I think I get it from God, I just get in the way. It comes from God, I just get in the way.
Absolutely.
You know,
I find myself in the way a lot.
Yeah,
that's all of us, my friend, no matter how much we write.
I think so, too. And I really think that's the main reason why a lot of people will write songs that are very similar to others. Mm-hmm. And you go, well, I got a song. Because those ideas are out there. You just reach up to
them. Kicking around.
Yeah, they're kicking around.
Waiting. Actually, waiting around is what they're doing, like you're talking about.
Waiting around. So you finished there, huh? Your wife added, brought it together.
Yeah, we both got in on the second and third verses. And I came back and got with Chris, and we started working it up.
See, he wouldn't let me sing as much at first on it, and then that's a funny story. Now, this is the bluesy side of Eddie Paul. Now, I was happy to sing whatever he wanted me to sing, because that's what we do. Like, it's our song. We kind of, you know, we try to keep an open mind, but then Eddie's wife was like, I want you to sing a little more. You need to tell Eddie. I said, he don't want me to sing on these parts. And I think Holly got in there, and so when we practiced it, we added just a little more harmony, and I really do think the song was great to begin with, but I think it popped it out just a little more.
I got vetoed, and it was a positive.
So Holly did that, huh?
Yeah.
You really don't want to question Holly. So,
no.
Well, she did it. She actually did it through me, and then I said, I think, can we, you know. Anyway, she made me the guinea pig.
But no, it works. It definitely works.
Well, I can't wait. I'm excited to hear it now. Let's do it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
potion for sale. Will you conjure me a lover, a hippie gypsy with a touch of Southern Belle? Can you make her talk with the thick South Georgia drawl? Give her the hips and the lips of a Mississippi queen, New Orleans voodoo woman. Oh, voodoo woman, I get lonely in the bayou late at night. I wanna taste her Creole kisses, stare down in her black Cajun eyes. A sexy Delta green, tan legs and cut off jeans. She's the one I'm chasing in my sweet New Orleans voodoo woman. Spanish moss in the wind. Give her the voice of an angel, a devilish desire and thirsty passion deep within. Maybe just perhaps you could add a dash of sass. But do you have a way to help me, please, New Orleans? For sale, will you conjure me a lover and charm her with that black magic spell?
Oh my goodness, there you go. Train wrecked it up. No doubt. There's, we got the jam part in there, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
And a little psychedelia.
And a little
just
psychedelia.
The end of it.
So that's like.
But a little Muddy Waters blues in there, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love it. Great job, you.
That's cool.
Eddie.
What a song.
Eddie. Salute, man.
What
a
song.
And Holly, too.
Thank
yeah,
God.
Absolutely.
Way to go. You think she'd write with me if I asked?
Oh, she probably would.
That's yeah. just so awesome.
That's a good, fun song to sing.
Yeah, it's a great song. Yeah. Great song, man. It's
cool. Come on around to you, Scott.
Hello.
Scotty.
Scott.
Like I said, the new guy.
The new guy.
The new guy on the scene.
Yeah. But you've been in town for how long? You've been writing songs.
Oh, gosh. Over 20 years.
Over 20 years.
Yeah, and I came here originally just to be a touring musician.
Mm.
And I was a hobbyist writer back then. I wrote every now and then.
And you toured with some pretty... You did heavy metal too.
I did start in metal, yes. It's hard to believe.
To Gretchen Wilson.
Maybe we need to add metal to the bio. I don't know if that'll... It's a little stretch, but...
We could do
is
it.
Is there such a thing as acoustic metal?
Well, actually, there was a group in Nashville years ago called Hayseed Dick. Dixie.
Oh, I knew that guy. I worked with that guy.
Yeah. We talked about them on the radio last week.
Acoustic. Yeah, they make
it's bluegrass. It's bluegrass songs of like AC/DC. Yeah, basically.
and they're amazing at it.
It's really one guy.
Yeah.
And he hires them. Yeah.
And I used to go see them down at what was that? There was a station. What was that place called?
Station Inn.
Station Inn. Yeah. I used to go watch them because I was so fascinated with them doing metal songs in bluegrass style.
Yeah.
And so. So I'm kind of going for a full circle, being able to play some bluegrass for these guys. And maybe we'll add the metal back in. I don't know. Maybe. But I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
All right. Just thought I'd throw it out there.
Let's have a vote on that.
Yeah. I think the vote's already been voted, it sounds like to me. But,
you're voted out, Scott. So I'm sorry.
Again, new guy.
You got to build your cred up.
I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. But no, so I did start in the rock world because in Maryland, where I'm from, there really wasn't anything else to go into. All my friends played rock. That's why I did that. But I was already dabbling in writing and messing with many styles of music because I just love music in general.
It's a Maryland thing, right?
It's a Maryland
thing. Not necessarily because in the D.C. area, bluegrass is bigger than here in Nashville.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, because you're very close to West Virginia. And anyway, I don't want to take...
No, not at all.
Take away from Scott here.
Yeah.
And where I was living, like, everybody was rock.
Yeah. Right. Baltimore. Well, you're more Baltimore area. Yeah. That's
Scott, it was the same for me growing up in Cleveland, Ohio.
That was pretty much it.
I was working at a country radio station back in Country Road in Cole. I know my friends worked there.
Yeah.
My wife almost wouldn't go out with me because I worked for a country
radio. Were you putting peanuts in your Coca-Cola, too?
I didn't know about that until the Barbara Mandrell song, but I had to look it up.
It's good, though.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, when I wasn't doing the metal stuff, I was writing these little country little things.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize it. Every time I picked a guitar, and people are like, that sounds like country.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm a rocker. And so I finally gave in. I thought, maybe I should just move to Nashville, because it seems like when I pick up a guitar, that's where I lean. It was a natural inclination, and it kind of pulled me that way anyway.
Good
and
player, too.
People were telling me, because I was like, well, I'm kind of in rock bands. They're like, really? We think since you keep writing this, you should go to Nashville. That's what people told me.
Yeah.
So I ended up in Nashville, and so still doing the rock stuff, but...
And you love it here, don't you?
I do love it here, this is home for me forever, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, me too.
And so, because I'm around amazing human beings. And
Shoot, Scott's the most successful one out of all of us, man. I mean, he makes his whole living out of music, man.
I know.
Somehow managed to.
He gets all these cuts, because you've got an interesting philosophy about writing around. You write with a lot of different... You've had a lot of different co-writers.
I do. Yeah. I was quiet earlier when you were talking about writing by inspiration.
Yeah.
And so, when I did get off the road, I did tour a lot, and I toured with country acts and rock acts and all kind of different groups.
Yeah.
I thought, well, what am I going to do with my life? I'll try songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was just by inspiration. It was very hard to get a discipline. And it took a while to create that.
Yeah.
Because it was super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But now it's just sort of habit. Mm-hmm. And that's what it became over time. You build up these muscles and these skill sets, and you just fall on those. You lean on those to walk into a room in any situation and try to be creative to the best of your ability. So, but as I was coming up the ranks, I was watching different writers, and I came across a guy named Jim Lauderdale. I was working on the row for his accountant, and back in the day before digital world took over, they mailed the royalty sheets to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and me, I didn't really have any cuts, so I got a blank piece of paper in the beginning. It was like nothing on there. And
Charlie Brown.
I got a rock.
Right? Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, they're like, thank you for being a member. Okay, but you got no money.
Yeah.
So, I would file these really big songwriters who were, the clients, I guess, of this accountant. And so they were famous people, but they had like 10 sheets. This dude had like 50 or 60 sheets of royalties. And I'm like, what does this guy do?
Jim Lauderdale, wow.
And so I started researching him. He had somewhere in the range of like 500 major label cuts.
Wow.
And I was like, why is he different from everybody else? So I finally just sort of asked him, and he wouldn't remember this because I'm just some guy behind a desk. But he told me he wrote around, and I was like, what is that? He goes, well, you just got to be open to opportunities and take them.
And
you can give people a try. If it doesn't work, you just move on. And what works, you stay with those people and you build teams. And he told me all this stuff, and I thought,
wow.
One day,
One day.
If I ever just become a songwriter, I'm going to do the Jim Lauderdale method.
And you are doing it.
So,
yep. And I'm getting that from you, too. I've been trying to do the same thing. You know, yeah. And for the first time, I've written the most songs this year in my career. Usually I have 60 to 80 songs a year, but this year, you know, it's been a lot more.
And you got cuts, too. You got Eddie and I beat. I mean, Eddie writes more than me, I think, but you write a year, you think?
Shoot.
Yeah, 20, like that. 20 maybe.
I'm not even going to see what I wrote this year.
I'm about 10, I think, a year. I'm about 10 songs a year.
I bet you're like a couple hundred, huh?
Yeah. More? Oh, he's 500.
Let's play high low.
About 250. About 250.
Let me guess. 250? I was going to play high low.
That's also a differentiation of where you are, though, in your life, where Chris is and he is.
Sure. Yeah.
So you made that your...
My living, vocation.
But there's a risk involved in what he did. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm exhausted. I'm driving a truck, mm-hmm. you know, trying to just keep it under 40. But I used to drive 50, 60 hours a week. And Eddie worked his butt off for 20 years with the co-op. Yeah. And that's not an easy job. Mm-hmm. But Scott took that risk and just went all in on music. We all admire that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we had a good opportunity, my wife and I. We sold a piece of property we sat on forever. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me a cushion. And with my wife's permission, we it's super important. Erin gave me her amazing blessing. And she said, this is your shot.
And Erin's a great singer, too, by the way.
She's an amazing singer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, I talked to her about it, and I said, this is probably the only shot I have. Mm-hmm. You know, we've never had money before until we sold this house. And she said, go for it, but you got to do it full time. I said, mm-hmm. yes, ma'am.
So you don't mess around.
Yeah. No.
You can't even get a hold of this guy half the time.
No, you got to leave a message because he's in a writing session. He's don't
even,
3 a day.
He don't even respond to text half the damn time.
2 or 3 a day, right?
About 2 a day.
Yeah. And amazing. So. And sometimes weekends.
Yeah, I had one this morning. Yeah,
before you came here,
that's why he was late.
I was an hour away. I was in Gallatin, and I was like, "Man, I got to get there."
And you'll travel too. Oh my God!
Like
have
I said,
guitar, we'll travel.
Yeah, right around, man. Right around the world.
I love your philosophy, and it's working for you. Yeah. Now, you know, we do rounds, and we've done a lot of rounds together. Yeah. I love playing along with you and singing your songs. Yeah. And you've got this song called Motown that when you sing Motown, everybody's joining you.
Motown Morgan.
And you guys have train wrecked it, right? So
really, we didn't train wreck it that much. We with Scott's song, we leave them alone because they're pretty arranged on his own already. Yeah. All we did is really add some harmony, harmony to it, right?
Some train wreck.
We're like, you know, what they used to say about the band, ragged but right, that's us.
So it wasn't off the rails like a crazy train, right? Crazy train.
It pretty much had its formula, so they fell into it.
Go ahead.
But I have to give a shout out to Elise Yulow. This was her idea, Motown Morning.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those serendipitous sort of cosmic things because I got a call from a publisher here in town to write a song for Frankie Ballard. He moved back to Detroit after his record deal
ended. Great left-handed player and
he's
singer.
Amazing guitarist. Sharded goodness
artist,
sake.
Yeah.
He just wears it out.
Yeah.
And so, but the publisher called me and goes, hey man, so what's up? And he goes, do you have any songs with Motown or Detroit or anything in it? And me being on top of things, I was like, no, I got nothing. And so
I got Maryland.
Yeah, got a Maryland song I was kicking around. Yeah, but right around that time, I was in a write with Elise and another writer, and we were throwing ideas around, and she said Motown Morning, and I went,
well, need that.
And the other guy said, well, that's not country. I ain't writing that. And I went, no problem. In the back of my mind, I was like, cool. All right. So
he didn't know. He didn't know what you knew.
Yeah, my bad. He didn't. I didn't say a word.
Yeah.
But we had another follow-up write, and he couldn't make it.
Oh.
And so when Elise got there, I said, you remember that title you had? And because she was like, I don't know what to do with it or if we can use it for anything. I said, I got something we can use it for.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, I feel a little bit of pressure. I got to get this song written to try to get this cut with Frankie.
Uh-huh.
And so we wrote Motown Morning. And it's funny because I wanted to have kind of that, a little bit of a flavor, you know, that might be a little R&B.
Yeah.
And so I had like 5 different guitar parts because I didn't know what she'd like.
Uh-huh.
And this part, the way the song came out is the last one.
Wow.
I kept playing it, and like 30 minutes later, she's like, "Nah." And then I started playing this one, and And she went, that's what we're going to write on. We're going to write on top of that one.
Nice. Oh, good.
And so off we went, and it just kind of flowed out, which is really awesome. So,
well, let's hear it, guys. Mighty Trainwrecks, Songwriter Connection.
Kisses like dropping a needle, making my heart skip missing a beat. The way you move, feel good groove. I can't help myself, but keep me hanging on. There ain't no mountain high enough. Cause baby, I need your love on this Motown morning. Motown morning. Really got a hold of me, baby, when you're holding me. Swaying with you to smoky chorus. You smile in the sunshine poison. First light slow dance, your sweet temptation. Makes it a Motown morning. Sound of your voice just soothes my soul, like an R&B melody just rolls over me better than a dream. Got a couple hours before it's noon, the rest of the day will be here soon. For now we're the slow jamming in this room on this 4-0-0-town morning. 4-0-0-town morning. Really got a hold of me, baby, when you're holding me. Swaying with you to smoky chorus. You smile and the sunshine pours in. First light slow dance, your sweet temptation. Makes it a Motown morning. This morning to end, let's drop the needle back on the first track again. Motown morning, Motown morning. Really got a hold of me, baby, when you're holding me. Swear with you to a smoky chorus. You smile and the sunshine pours in. First light slow dance, your sweet temptation. Makes it a Motown morning.
Song so many times, but never like that.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. I love putting the harp into that song.
Isn't that amazing? Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I think the first time we did it, I kind of went a little crazy on it, and the crowd went,
they did. It was phenomenal.
I thought I kind of overplayed it a little bit, but he was like, yeah, do that again.
Yeah,
well, doing the jam band thing. I love
it. What I love about that is that Eddie and I throughout are very tasteful in it, and he's kind of, we're supporting Scott's wonderful guitar playing,
yep.
And it's just this little sparse little thing that we do. But then when you go out to the jam, it's just like, you know,
it's fun. It's, yeah, it's big.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really brought it to life, which is nice. It's really awesome. So does my heart good. Makes me happy.
Awesome. Well, guys, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your schedules to come here and do the podcast.
So glad to.
Thanks Freight for having train. Us.
You the man, man. I love what you guys are doing.
Thank you, man.
Keep it going.
Can't do it without these guys, man, at all.
Big thanks. Eddie Paul, good to always see you.
Good to see you, bro.
Yeah, you tell your wife Holly I said hey.
I sure will.
She's just a sweet little lover.
I sure will.
And Frank Scott Barrier, let me tell you, brother. Brother from another mother.
I
love you, man.
I know, my friend. Yeah. Me too, bro. All absolutely.
Right. Have a great one. Thank you for listening at home. And like I always say, right on, right on.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.